This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. A 19th century idea is sparking a lot of 21st century discussion. In 1879, explorer John Wesley Powell suggested using the availability of water as the basis for determining the boundaries of Western states. He even created a map showing what these states would look like. It was a form of sustainability, even before that phrase was coined. Powell's idea didn't fly. The state lines we have today were created using concepts promoted by the powerful railroad companies. John Levy, a land use planner at the nonprofit Sonoran Institute in Montana, recently decided to revisit Powell's idea. He extended it to the whole continental United States. The map that he's created has gotten a lot of attention, way more than he expected. And John, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with Powell's vision for the Western states. Why did he think this was a good idea in the first place?
Powell believed that forming the Western states around watershed was a good idea because of the aridness of the area. We don't receive nearly as much precipitation on average that the eastern part of the country does. And he saw a future of water conflict resulting out of a state configuration in the West that resembled the East. And he thought, well, what we could do is form these states around watershed as a way to stave off some of these potential conflicts.
Pretty visionary guy. I mean, what we see today is a lot of water conflicts, especially as the resource gets more and more scarce in drought.
Absolutely. And of course, the Colorado River is a shining example of that. You've got this river serving over 30 million people in, gosh, what is it, 9 states and 2 nations pulled across the mountains. The saying, water flows towards money and downhill, is very true in this case.
Powell's idea really didn't fly, especially at a time when there's this idea of manifest destiny, that the United States is supposed to expand west and man should dominate the land. I mean, there's even ideas that if you plowed in the west, all of a sudden an arid climate would become moist.
That's right. There were some powerful interests, really the railroad companies that had been granted lands through the federal government, who were lobbying to form states really that would best enable them to use those lands to both develop railroads and communities that would surround them. And a watershed states approach doesn't really lend itself well to that idea because they're very amoeba-like. They're very irregularly shaped. They don't really take best advantage of those square-mile tracts of lands given to the railroad companies.
Amoeba-like. Well, let's get an idea of what your United Watersheds States of America map looks like. Now, you can see for yourself what it looks like at cprnews.org. But describe it for us. I like the word amoeba-like. I think that does it justice.
Well, first of all, watershed boundaries are formed by natural topography. Ridge lines, mountaintops, clefts in the land, things like that. At a very large scale, the Continental Divide is a great example. It runs, through the center of Colorado, and all the water that falls on the east side of the divide ultimately goes into the Gulf of Mexico, and all the water that falls on the west side of the divide flows into the Pacific Ocean or the Gulf of California.
So in this way, a watershed map much more closely follows natural boundaries.
Absolutely. It really does. It's formed by, like I say, natural topography and what the land gives you.
What does Colorado look like on this new map?
What happens to Colorado is that it's shifted and the Continental Divide forms the eastern boundary of this watershed Colorado. And watershed Colorado, it's roughly oval in shape. Its eastern border is formed by the Continental Divide. Then it travels north and sort of west, actually bisecting the Wind River Range in present-day Wyoming. From there, it would turn south following the Wasatch Front outside of Salt Lake City and finally turn back towards the east through the Colorado Plateau just north of Albuquerque. The largest city in watershed Colorado would be Grand Junction.
Oh, I see. Now, this might strike some as a really futile exercise, right? Like, this isn't going to happen, John Levy. Why did you do this?
Well, it's not going to happen. And, you know, if you read my original essay, I say somewhere in there, this isn't a point I'm advocating for. It's just a way to say, what would this look like and what might be some of the implications to result from this?
Well, and that's a good point, because if you redraw boundaries, political lines, according to watersheds, I guess you're assuming all kinds of things happen as a result. There's a redistribution of population. Cities, communities are forced to draw on the water, I suppose, in their own backyards, as opposed to these huge diversion projects. What is it you're pointing out?
Well, there are a number of things that I pointed out in my original piece, and subsequently a number of people have pointed out through various comment boards on the internet. And, you know, some of the things that I suggest up front is that, you know, there would be, as you note, a shift in the Electoral College, for example. You've got state borders shifting, which encompasses new, sometimes more, sometimes less population. So that would have an effect. I think, too, that in some cases, transportation systems may be made more efficient. I use the example of Alta, Wyoming, which is basically landlocked from the rest of Wyoming. You can only access it by car anyway through Idaho. And so to service Alta, Wyoming from the Wyoming side requires Teton County, Wyoming to go over the pass up through Idaho back into Wyoming. So I think about some instances like that where you could see some efficiencies in service gained.
Huh. So in that way, it's not just about water. It's about providing all kinds of services with topography as your master.
Right. And if you study some of Powell's original writings, you'll see that his idea was really two-pronged, one of which was, okay, let's form these states around watershed. The other was, let's also create a strong local institution to manage and oversee this water. And so I think some of the implications that would result from, you know, his second idea are really interesting as well.
Yeah, well, let's explore. What would this mean for water, its distribution, its diversion, its use?
Well, Powell envisioned, as I mentioned, a very strong local group that would govern all aspects of the water originating within their state. And, you know, we are speculating, but I think it's interesting that they would be given, these groups would be given so much power to distribute and dole out and manage this water. I wonder if, being Americans, we would not have found a way to capitalize on that asset, not all that differently than we've done today. So some have suggested that the Bureau of Reclamation Projects, impoundments, dams, things like that, would not have come to be in Powell's vision. I wonder if they would have, but maybe would have taken a different shape. So while Phoenix may not have received the water it gets today, you might find that Grand Junction all of a sudden becomes this very large metropolis.
Huh. John, thanks for being with us. The map is really fun to look at.
Thanks for having me.